Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, a warm welcome back to the Ross Lair podcast. Today, Phil Murphy continues his conversation with Liam Griffin. This time, they talk business.
Hello, my name is Phil Murphy, and I am going to have a chat with Liam Griffin about family business and Wexford County business. This is a follow-on to the previous two podcasts that I did with Liam, where we dealt with his family history and also his involvement with the GAA and the famous 1996 All-Ireland. So tonight, or today, we're going to concentrate on the business aspect of things. And Liam, your family has been in the hotel business for a long time, starting off, I think, with your mum and dad, Michael and Jenny, in the Pier Hotel in 1960.
That's correct, yeah. But my mother had a little bit experience from it, and from, as I said previously, from her childhood when her mother had started a guest house. So yes, she obviously had an insight into the business, and then in Ross Lair here as well, she did a lot of bed and breakfast and all sorts, and that led to the hotel business, I suppose, an inevitable evolve.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Well, as we said before as well, you took an interest in the hotel business because you were in and around the hotel all the time when you were growing up.
Yes, absolutely.
And you went on to study the hotel management in Shannon in Switzerland. Mm. And eventually, after getting practical experience in some high-class joints.
Yeah, exactly.
You ended up back in Ross Lair.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And was delighted to wind back up here because, the pull of home was strong and I was glad to come back home. And I always wanted to live down here. So I didn't have any ambitions to go stay abroad or anything like that. Never had.
You bought the Pier Hotel from your parents in 1976 and it became known as Hotel Ross Lair in 1980.
Yeah.
And that was really the start of your personal career, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes, yeah. No, when we went there, my parents had put a lot of effort in to try and build up a business, and we had a very good local trade as well. So we were actually a pub come hotel, if you want to put it that way, because we would have had a lot of local business there. But when we built, we'd spent a lot of money, which we had to borrow to try and develop the hotel. And thankfully, we did well when we opened up, and most of our business was really related to the port of Ross Lair, to be quite honest. People come to stay for us with bed and breakfast and getting up the next morning and going to ferries, and the boats' arrivals and that suited our business. Mm. We mostly got them on the way back, not on the way in, because they came in the morning, but they would come back in the evening time and stay overnight. So we had an unbelievable amount of repeat business over the years, repeats, people booking in from 1 year to the next that were, Irish, they were advocates for Ireland, and they were actually a fantastic tourists that we had. And I would have said that if you would have asked any of our staff, the most popular tourists of all time were the British. They were absolutely very good to us, and a pleasure to deal with, to be honest.
I think that's generally said, even still, despite recent European Cups and things like that.
But
they're a decent people to deal with.
Absolutely, and they're very, and we found them actually not demanding at all. They were just, really excellent, and we were delighted and made some good friends over the years with them as well.
You were the first and last port of call in Ireland for a lot of these people who had a long journey, maybe some of them, to go off to Kerry and Limerick and all over the place.
Yeah, that's true.
When did you actually sell the home base here in Ross Lair? What was the thinking behind that? And was that before or after you had begun to expand the business into the hotel in Kilkenny and Ferncarrig?
No, what happened was, and I think there was a problem for Ireland. Like, we were doing very, very well. And the Great Southern and ourselves were the only two hotels in the area at the time. And then Tusker House came on the scene as well, and then another hotel with Devericks's in the harbour. And eventually, we were a little bit like the Irish tourism problem at the time. We were overdeveloped for a small village, because don't forget we were going to wind up with a long winter in it. Mm. And it was very hard to survive, because we knew how hard it was to survive ourselves, and we were just nearly on our own. Even when the Southern closed, we still found it hard to survive. So, from my perspective, John O'Connor of Shiel Kinnear was not just our accountant, but a great friend of ours. They were our auditors. So we had lots of talks about where we were going to go next and do what we're going to do next. So we decided a long time that we'd have to expand, actually, but we didn't have any room in Rosslare Harbour. We just we didn't have any more room. We tried to get more room, but just we couldn't get it. So eventually it was inevitable that we were going to sell, and we sold on the basis that we could actually ferry Carrick was coming up at that stage, and we saw that as a great opportunity if we could afford to do it. We had bought Kilkenny previously and it was doing well. So we actually, the other hotels brought us out of Rosslare and it made sense to sell it. And then at that stage too, we were going to do Monart as well, because the entire Irish tourism was on the verge of collapse in the four-star market, because it was overpopulated with hotels, and if you had all the guests to fill them all, the country would have been saturated as well. So the tax breaks were made, you know, give a lot of tax breaks and oversupplied the market. So we were like a mini version of the state, if you look at Rosslare Harbour. So we felt we had to move, and unfortunately now, and sadly for me and sadly for everybody in Rosslare Harbour, there is no hotel left in Rosslare Harbour.
No, it's rather, it is sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. It's so sad for me. I often think of my mum when I've, my brother has a house beside the hotel, but when I go out there and think of my mum and my dad and the hard work they put in and all the staff that they had over the years, it's so sad to see it with the weeds at the door at the moment.
And not only is there no hotel in Rosslare, but the sites of some of the former hotels are
derelict. Unfortunately, Hotel Rosslare is looking a bit like that right now as well.
It looks a little bit downtrodden.
So if you go to the front door of the hotel now, it's just all weeds. That's what it is. And that's so sad, because it was a vibrant place.
The hotel in Ferrycarrig always intrigued me. That had been there for quite a long time before you bought it in 1991.
Yeah.
And despite the absolutely wonderful location that it had, it never seemed to make a go of it.
No, well, what happened was, that was, first of all, how they got permission to build that, I don't know. I don't think you'd get it today, right? Which is sad, by the way, because this is a good, would be a good location. So I don't think we should be saying you can't build anywhere like that. But what happened was, the big thing that became fashionable in the 60s was motels.
Right.
And it was called the Castle Motor Inn.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
That's right. Yeah. So, therefore, it identified itself with this new thing. Now, today it's the Boutique Hotel.
Yeah.
So, then it was the Motor Hotel. Yeah. Then you had the start of major hotels like Travel Lodges in Britain, who were doing very well. But they were coming off of motorways, and there were some people driving the length of Britain.
Yeah.
So, they had a permanent trade, and they became all over England.
And they were associated with the major stopping points along
the
route. And the service day areas.
And they were often service areas as well.
Yeah.
So, like, they worked, but then that was the model that the man, Mr. Clancy was his name. I didn't know the man. But he had come back from England. He was a builder. And then he built this, I suppose, part of that system.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. And when we bought it, then we had to change it around and turn it around into a different product. Yeah. And
it had a sort of an unfinished appearance, and there was no copper bar in it or anything like that.
Yeah,
it was for transients, one night only kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And also you could park in front of the bedrooms, which put you parking between you and the river.
Yes.
So myself and Mary went out to look at it at one stage, and we just went for a meal, and a fella pulled up with a van right out the table, and we couldn't see anything except the side of a van. I don't know what it was, somebody's works anyway. But anyway, so like we actually kind of made a completely different change.
You turned it around, basically.
Turned it around and left nothing in front of the hotel.
Yeah.
So it was right overlooking the river.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I was just left there, like of a sunny day like today, standing on a balcony looking
at it.
It's a bit of heaven. Yeah. You know, as I said, I wouldn't mind staying here myself. Can't afford it.
I was going to say, maybe they'd let you.
Maybe they'd let me, yeah,
but it's one of the jewels in the crown now anyway. It's highly successful.
You'd have to love it. I mean, and also we got good advice from the people in the slab as well. Dave Daly gave us good advice about bird life and so forth.
Yes.
And gave us, like we let things grow on the outside now that's full of bird life. And look, it's definitely a special place.
Right.
It is a special place. And I'm all very proud of it. And we have a great team there. And they're with us a long time, a lot of them. So and they've been very loyal to Ferrycarrig, and all of our people have been. So, yeah, you know, I think any of us would hate to leave it, and that's a fact.
I have to say myself, I've always thought that your biggest gamble and it turned out to be our biggest success story in a way afterwards, was the setting up of what became a world-recognised spa.
Yeah.
In a small rural place on the outskirts of Enniscorthy.
Well,
that was that not a, well, I know the Celtic Tiger was probably roaring at that time, but he didn't roar for too long afterwards.
No, but why we did that, first of all, I felt that the four-star market was becoming, it was becoming a Me Too movement. Everybody had to have a sim, everybody, it's like a sausage factory.
Yeah.
All of them were the same. You know, you had a function room, you had weddings, you did conferences, you had a swimming pool.
Very standardised.
So you came into a standardised four-star. Mm. And then we had the Celtic Tiger, whereby you had developers who were just developing hotels to get the tax break.
Yeah.
So what happened then? They copied every model they could see. So if somebody had a creche in the back, yeah, we need one of them. We need a gym. Yeah, we need that. We need this. Yeah. We need the other thing. Now, I'm involved in sport. And have always been involved in sport. So the gym and all of the things that we developed, I had good knowledge of the product, and I had good knowledge of what would make that product work. So we put that in as an absolute
integral part of the hotel.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And a pillar
and the facilities.
To hold it. So and it worked well for us, and then we were able to have local membership as well. So we did that there. But the four-star market was getting overcrowded everywhere. So what we decided to do was that we would chance what we were... It was a calculated gamble that we would do Menard. But the problem with the spa, we found that sometimes, like, if a spa can... If the staff in Ferncarrig would have felt that we should have built a spa at the river in Ferncarrig. And we had a management meeting about this and sat down and debated it.
Mm.
Like, I'm not a dictator. And we took everybody else's opinion and we said, look, this is what we're thinking of doing. What do you think? So, like, someone said, for God's sake. And then we had a site in Enniscorthy. You're going to Enniscorthy and we're looking at the river. Why don't we put it here?
The river looking right in on the swimming pool.
Exactly. Yeah. So why not here? And I said, because we're mixing all our markets.
Hmm.
And therefore, is it really a spa? You know what I mean? So we're going to do this because the four-star market is an area that we don't want to stay, like, to go downhill in the middle of a four-star market because everybody's doing the same. So we try and do something different and try and retain that four-star hotel in Ferncarrig, and we will to the best of our ability. But we try and do something a little bit different, see what happens.
Hmm.
Now, it was a major gamble. Of course it was. But, like, and I didn't want to do it in anywhere else, only in County Wexford. Because I felt, and this is where you're getting sentimental, and sentiment's not a great way to run a business, but why not do it in County Wexford? Mm. And why not take it away from all the attractions of County Wexford and put it in a rural spot where you could go and stay for a break and not go anywhere?
Mm.
You know, because it was meant to be a different market.
Meant to be a retreat area.
Exactly. For people, so yeah. We went for that, right? And then we tried to do it in a good way, and we did. We didn't want to be overly ostentatious because we thought that was for the birds. We didn't want to do that. And we wanted to do it just to fit the market. And I think we did a good job in it. And our business is mostly repeat now anyway. So we're not looking for a massive market. We were at the start to try and get people in to become regulars. And that took us a long time. And then the crash came.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not being very smart about that. We nearly had no business by the time.
How did you survive it?
I tell you how we survived. I have two sons with me, Michael and Liam Anthony, and they're both well educated. Michael did economics and he did hotel management and he did all those things. They worked in the hotels, they understood hotels. And they all started in the wash up because you need humility in a hotel. You'd only be poncing around the place as if you were God.
Yeah.
And I always hated that when I was in hotels, you know. You see a fella come back in from a game of golf and starting to be all doing the whole thing. But from my perspective, it was just a bit different. But so from our perspective, like, it was a product that we felt we could make work, and I think we did that. And if you didn't get it right, you were definitely going to be in dire trouble. So we had built an amount of business, but nobody wanted to be seen to be in a five-star hotel. And we didn't want to be five-star, by the way. We didn't want to be five-star because I was a standards advisor in a former life. But if you're not graded, you can't be registered.
Right.
So we couldn't have a liquor license. So we actually said, please don't grade us. We not want to be graded. We don't want to have a label on us. Yeah. We had to. So
you
we
don't
wound
want
up
to be
star.
Elitist.
No, we didn't want to be. That's not what we wanted to be anyway. And we still don't want to be. But the point is that...
But Monarch is recognised as a little bit elitist, I would
it
say.
It is, I'd say. But not... I'd say when people stay, they don't see it like that. It's more earthy, if you like, I think. Yeah. And so that's why it's gone. But so our business was sold to a vulture fund. And much to our regret. Now... It was sold to a vulture fund, but we were 370 businesses in that vulture fund. And that was sold to an American company. They never set foot in Ireland. And there was two bankers running that vulture fund, and they were working on the basis of the bottom line. Of bonuses based on what they could get for properties. Yeah. We were performing, that was a sad thing. We were performing for the bank at the time. We were actually performing. So, but we were thrown into the mix the same as everybody else because Ulster wanted to exit Ireland, and that's what they did. So they sold off all their stuff. But that put us in a situation where we had to go to a vulture fund. And the vulture fund were doing deals with everybody, but they wouldn't do a deal with us because we were performing. So we were caught both ways. Yeah. We were caught by being pushed into a vulture fund, and then we were caught because we were performing. Whereas other places, we were sold for 40 cents in the euro back to, actually, some of them got back with the same people, you know. Yeah. So, but... There was no policing of that.
So what's the current situation with Monarch then, Liam?
No, Monarch is now, we're back to...
You own it again.
We own it again. You know, we bought it from the Vulture Fund.
Yeah.
And we paid them 100 cents in the euro.
Full price.
But yeah. Whereas there was only six performing things. And then, of course, I wound up in the front of the business part of the Irish Times. And Michael rings me up to say, Jesus, you're all over the front with this All-Ireland again, all over the place. To have Monarch, whatever, sold to a vulture fund and me after the All-Ireland final, which I was going around apologising to my own family for being on the bloody paper. All the time. So it wasn't my fault that I wound up in it, but that's what happened. So it was very traumatic for a while and a lot of sleepless nights at that stage.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. But look, thankfully it settled down and thankfully we're back in business and thankfully we own our business and working away and we're doing okay.
Well, you had a pretty good session run then, really, with all three. The one in Kilkenny is a really nice establishment.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. No, that was
Hotel
good.
Kilkenny.
Yeah.
So you had a fairly good run all through the teens, let's say.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind, but our performance for any bank was actually top class. We had we had some of the best figures because we know because they did a survey of all of their, and our figures. But that saved us in the end, to be honest, because when that came before the bank, we could put down good figures that were showing good management systems, good systems of work, good controls, and all of those things.
You were able to get more money when you needed it. Then.
We were able to get support when we needed it. And AIB, in fairness to them, were fantastic with us because they were told by the government to support Irish business. Right. And I have to say, we had never banked with AIB, but they wrote in, actually, AIB refused to give me any money. I was trying to buy my own hotel at the start because I had no money, which was interesting. But anyway, they backed us fully and they're still backing us to this day and we're grateful for them for it.
Right. But then, like lots of businesses, but I think maybe particularly the hotel business, it does tend to be cyclical.
Yeah.
And there's always downs where there are ups. And of course, then latest then was the pandemic.
Yeah, the pandemic.
And Brexit then mixing into it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And the travel problems and all the rest. But how have you come through or how are you coming through the current crisis?
We are coming through it pretty well. But to be quite honest with you, we wouldn't survive it without the government intervention, you know, the government support system.
Mm.
And without it, the worry I would have about the government support system is that where's all the money going to come from?
Mm.
You know, at the end of the day, and some of it's got out of control, like the PUP and some of that stuff is really out of control, you know, so, and it's having a negative effect now at this stage. But look, the point is that it's such a difficult thing to do. We were closed for a year, in 2 years, we were closed for one solid year.
Mm.
Now, there's not too many businesses can survive that. And I believe, and I'm sorry to say it, but I believe if you weren't viable before the pandemic, you haven't a prayer of being viable after it.
You didn't have things like rent and all that to worry about.
No, we didn't. No, and we weren't renting properties, our own properties.
Which a lot of places do.
A lot of places do.
Yeah.
So it's so sad that a lot of good businesses are going to go by the wall. And they will go by the wall. I mean, there's no question about that. Unless they get somewhere like this. But if you can't prove you were viable before, it's going to be very difficult to retain a business afterwards to banks.
Well, are you reasonably optimistic now that the end is in sight of the current crisis?
I am, but I'm still concerned about the overall situation still. I think this is a very difficult, it's easy for people to be slamming the government, and I'm not going to slam the government on this, and it's easy for people to slam Neffet, and it's easy to call Tony Hula and all the names under the sun on social media. Look, at there's lives at stake, and to be quite honest, the lives are more important than my business. Like, we'll still be living even if we lost our business. Now, we're not going to lose it, and there's no question about it, we're not going to. And we're going to fight in our back to make sure we keep going anyway, and that's the fact. And I'm lucky I've got two sons with me to do that. So from our perspective, and they're in charge now, by the way. So from our perspective, like, we're going to fight our way through it. But I think we need to do the right thing by the people. And I was sick listening to an interview yesterday morning with Pat Kenny, who I respect greatly. I respect him greatly. I think he's the best interviewer on radio by a country mile, and he's always well-informed, right? But there was a minister on with him, I can't think of who it was, and they were talking about the people who would, you know, coming into a premises that came to the door and they weren't allowed in because they weren't vaccinated.
Oh, yes.
Right? Now, I think Pat Kenny said it's against their civil rights.
He was on about discrimination,
yes,
in the new measures.
Now, my first thing going through my head was, I have people inside who have been bothered to get vaccinated, and someone's at the door, and it's his rights I'm worried about, rather than the people who are conforming. So society has gone to the stage where non-conforming people rule the roost. Because if you look at most of the stuff that's going on in society, it's the non-conformists who can do it. Now, if someone has a genuinely not want to get vaccinated, that's fine. But if the majority of people want to get vaccinated, whose rights are being trampled on here? If you allow that to happen. Now, if the person is not going to get it, then you just can't come in. I'm sorry.
I think they were partly making the case for younger people who haven't had the opportunity to get vaccinated yet.
Yeah.
Well, they will do in the next couple of months.
I accept that part of it, but I didn't accept the fact that a conscientious objector should control what's going on in my premises. And I want to, and I want people in my premises to be safe. Above all, I have my own staff.
Yeah.
I want my staff safe as well. They're my friends. And so, and some of the hotels, to be fair, were gaming the system when it was and the county system, whereby you weren't supposed to take anyone from your own county or from outside your own county. Now, some of the hotels around Ireland were gaming that system, and they were taking them anyway. Now, my view, when this came up for us before our group, and Michael's view, all of our view was, hold on a minute here. We're not taking anybody from outside the county, because if we take someone from outside the county and they're prepared to take a risk, they're more than likely going to have COVID than a fella doesn't take a risk. So, and we give that to one of our staff and bring it home to their parents, and and something happens to them, who's responsible? We are. So we live by the rules.
I was going to say, you decided to play by the rules.
We play by the rules, and that's basically, and we'll play by whatever rule comes out. Yeah. But we don't think we should be marginalised by people who are conscientious objectors. I respect what they want to do. It's their right to do it. But then, hey, you can't have everybody else's rights with you as well. That's not fair, and it's not honest, and it's not right. That's just my view.
Now, you've mentioned the two lads, your two boys, who are actually running the group now at the moment.
Yeah.
What are their roles actually?
Well, Michael is the CEO. Matney's the director, but he's involved in lots of other issues within the business, with a main responsibility for marketing, or overseeing the marketing side.
Yeah.
So, and they're both, interestingly enough, I went on a thing with Ernst & Young with the Entrepreneur of the Year program, and we had a fellow from Oxford talking about, which was amazing. He separated everybody out for a chat about business and about all sorts. And when he did, he made it up, and he said, right, I want firstborn on each table. I want a secondborn on each table. And if there's brothers here or relations. And eventually mixed up a whole bunch of people with blue eyes, which is discrimination. Not discrimination, and a diversion. But it wound up that the first brother and the second brother, in most relationships, it's they wouldn't get on. But the first brother and the youngest often become very, very kind of united.
Yeah.
And if there's three or four, it'll be the two younger ones that'll become much more attached, whereas the kind of the banging issues can become between second and third. And Liam Anthony, you think he was joined at the hip to Michael. The two of them are so close together, and they're absolutely close together. And Michael is the firstborn, and Emmanuel is the thirdborn.
Right.
But
you hit on the right formula.
Yeah, they hit the right formula by accident. Yeah. Well, they were always good friends. They were always going to do it. So.
I was wondering, you're such a hands-on person and always have been. How do you find taking a kind of more backseat role, or do you do that?
I do
or
that.
Do you have any role now?
No, I'm not. I do. I'm chairman of the company, which is that's a long way from Hotel Rosslare, I can tell you. But however, Michael is the CEO, and that's it. I give my opinions at board meetings and various things like that. And I'd love to tell you that they run flying with them. The opposite's often the case. Look, I said my only defence is if I was a sheep farmer or if I was doing something like that, I'd still go out and count the sheep, I guarantee you, if we weren't here, right? So you don't expect me not to just take a role. No, I love meeting the customers.
Yeah.
And I love meeting the customers in my capacity. And I was in Menard today, for example, and I would have spoken to a lot of people. I don't try to come into a restaurant and to dominate someplace because I never liked that myself. Yeah. And but what I do is I talk to customers and what's the best feedback directly from the customer? And I was in Ferry this morning and... I spoke to a lot of people who were repeats and went out and just had a chat with them. And I enjoy doing that. And I feel, look, I need a sense of purpose like everybody else. I'm still active. My mind is pretty good. I'm involved in other things outside of the business. I'm involved in an Entrepreneur of the Year program. I'm chairman of the insurance committee there. We've done a lot of work in the last number of years. Mm. I'm involved in the GEA still, not to the same extent as I was before because I can't. Mm. So, and you need a sense of purpose every time you get out of bed. Otherwise, what's going to happen?
So it's running reasonably smoothly then?
It's running reasonably smoothly. There's things that I'm going to say that differently than the two lads. But they've good structures, they've good education. It's up to them now. The torch has been passed. And
you're happy how they're doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm happy how they're doing, yeah. Mm. No, it's not all sunshine and roses on occasions, but that's business. That's business.
Well, as far as your own business, the hotels are concerned, the very best of luck and... Hopefully, we'll see the end of this pandemic fairly soon and
please
things
God.
Will return to
yeah.
better than normal.
Please God, yeah.
From sometime next year onwards.
Please
maybe.
God.
Yeah.
Keep on listening to TRP.